Mike Tegubin. Hello, friend, and greetings again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. This is Bob Griggs, and it's our privilege to share with you the truth of the true and living God. We're in the book of Ephesians, for those of you who have a Bible or New Testament, chapter 2. And that's where we're picking up our study today, as we're talking about the church. And about we're taking a side trip from the book of Romans. We'll get back to the book of Romans. But we've been talking about baptism. I've been giving my testimony, and I've told about the next step of salvation after a person's accepted Christ as Savior. The next step of obedience to the Lord is to follow the Lord in baptism. Water baptism is an outward picture of the change that's taken place within a person's life. And so September the 7th, 1941, was when I accepted Christ as Savior, and 1 week later, we went to the Pecos River there in West Texas, and I followed the Lord in water baptism. I was put under the water and brought up again, picturing the change that had taken place in my life a week before, when I had put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, had accepted Him as Savior, and the Holy Spirit of God had moved into my spirit and done the work of salvation. And thus, I was placed into the body of believers. And so we're in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're reading about how that we were given life when we accepted Christ, and in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, and he's talking about Gentiles, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That is, we are brought into fellowship with believing Jews. Remember, beloved, the church was established with Jewish believers. The church was established with Jews. That's who established, and the Lord started the church. And I believe it was those 12 apostles, the 11 that were truly followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the called out assembly, the ecclesia, that he began his church with, and they're the foundation, and we're going to see that in just a few moments. And so he's talking about the believers, the Gentiles, being brought into fellowship with the Jewish believers in Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace between the Jew and the Gentile. Remember, when Christ walked on the earth, the Jew wouldn't have anything to do with the Gentile, because they were God's chosen people, and they looked down upon the Gentile as the uncircumcision. But now the Lord said, this middle wall of partition has been broken down. In the days when Christ was here, there was the temple, and they went to the temple to worship, and the Jews could go into places that the Gentiles could not go in. The Gentiles were kept outside the temple because they were not Jewish believers or Jewish individuals who had been circumcised and were following the law of God. But now this middle wall, this barrier between the Jew and the Gentile has been removed in Christ. That's what he's saying. Have abolished in his flesh the enmity, the separation, the division, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, the jealousy, and the separation that was thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, that was we Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, which was the Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So we see how that through salvation Jews and Gentiles were brought together in Christ Jesus and made fellow heirs with Christ. And so verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We are brought into the household of God. We're established and made a part of the body of Christ, which is the church. Verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." The apostles were those who had seen Christ. And the prophets, those who foretold truth about the Lord God, the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, in those days, when these books were written, the way a house would be built, there would be a big stone that would be used as the cornerstone, the stone upon which the whole house would rest. And then other stones would be laid, resting upon the cornerstone for the foundation, and then the building itself would be built upon that foundation. And so he said, Christ is the chief cornerstone, and then the apostles and the prophets are the foundation upon which the church is built, in whom all the building fitly working, or fitly framed together, and I turn two pages here, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, beloved, the Holy Spirit indwells the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells individual believers in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so every one of us that are born again believers have been placed into the body of Christ, have the indwelling Holy Spirit living within us, and thus our body is a habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so we as believers are the habitation of God. He lives in us through the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God the Father and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in Romans 8:9. And so, beloved, the church is the dwelling place of God here upon earth presently. And there's coming a day when the visible presence of God will be revealed, and Christ will come back to set up his kingdom to rule and reign over the entire earth for 1,000 years. But that is yet in the future. And so we see we're builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now turn with me to chapter 3. Well, it's right below us. Chapter 3 here in the scripture we're reading, verse 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." Paul was in jail because of the Jews hating him because he was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And so they'd had him put into prison, and that's where he's writing this book from. You see, God works all things together for good, to our good and his glory. Paul, out working in the field, didn't have time to write write a book. But now God's placed him in a place where he can write these books of the Bible. And so he says, I'm a prisoner for you Gentiles. Verse 2, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. That is, a dispensation is a special period of time whereby God's grace is now being manifested to the world. It's called the dispensation of grace. And Paul said this dispensation was given to me to go to the Gentiles to share the gospel with the Gentiles. Verse 3, how that by revelation he, God, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. This is a mystery that was hidden for generations, but now is being revealed, Paul says, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Christ and his coming was a mystery that Old Testament saints didn't comprehend and didn't understand. That's why Israel rejected him when he came the first time, because they were expecting him to come as he will come the next time he comes back to earth in power and in great glory. And so when he came quietly, born in a manger, not in great applause and position of power, but humbly and in such a manner, they said, no, this could not be the Messiah, because they didn't understand that Christ would first come and offer salvation to mankind through dying on an old rugged cross, being buried, and coming forth victor over death, hell, and the grave. And so this was a mystery, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. These truths were being revealed to the apostles, the ones who had seen Christ and had been instructed by him, and it was they who were to fulfill the commission to teach others, to bring others to Christ, and to spread the gospel. The first beginnings of the church. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This was the mystery that even the Jews themselves did not understand or know until Christ came and revealed these truths to them. After his death, he taught them and instructed them and opened their understanding. Wherefore, or whereof, I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Till next time, beloved, goodbye.